This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Can we have somebody do a pre-show host banjo? I think that would be awesome.
I'm in Kentucky.
You
so
are in Kentucky. There is.
You could definitely get somebody.
There you go.
Today we dropped Adler off at school, but it's the start of summer camp school, like because it's summer.
Sure.
But it's now they're calling it camp. And right. So we made
and
the
it must
terrible
be so different in preschool between
oh, you
the
don't
rigors
even know
of academia yeah. And then the
totally
summer
different
camp.
Exactly.
Totally
now
different.
Now it just involves water play and guests that come with like sea creatures and stuff.
Yeah.
But we made the terrible mistake of saying to Adler, it's so exciting. You're going to camp. Are you ready? You're going to go to camp. You're going to camp. And then we got to school and he looked at me and he goes, school? And I was like, yeah, but it's camp. Like it's going to be fun stuff. And he was, first of all, we get out and the kid next to us is getting out of the car screaming
oh,
bloody murder.
No.
And so Adler's looking at him like, oh, you must know something I don't know.
Yeah, they're taking this off to the
butcher.
So
he's walking to the class like, why are we doing this? Andy's in a new classroom this year. So I had to take him to his new classroom and all the kids from the classroom were in the middle of their walk to the playground to go play. So he was like thrown in the middle of it. Anyway, he burst into tears and didn't want me to drop him off this morning.
No.
And I was like, this is not the way I like to start my day.
Oh, no.
I do the same thing when Sue brings me to the airport. So don't even worry. That doesn't change, by the way. I'm like, I don't want to go. Yeah, same thing. She's like, okay, sorry, it's my husband. Sorry. And everyone's like looking at me like, oh God, I hope I'm not sitting next to that guy. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, man. Yikes. All right. Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fishel.
I'm Will Friedle.
And I am Ryder Strong.
I'm really excited to talk about this episode. It is called Father Knows Less, episode 103. The synopsis is that Alan wakes Corey up late at night to watch the end of a baseball game. Corey then fails a test the next day, and Mr. Feeney won't let him retake it.
Yes.
Another William Russ heavy episode.
Yes.
Rusty just killing it.
How good is he? Things I never remembered from working with him, from ever watching the show back in the day. Is like, man, thank God for Rusty and Bill, because they were amazing.
I mean, part of being on a show is that you often you get attracted to like the sort of unusual or bigger parts of an episode. You know, like when we're all there rehearsing all week, we're most concerned with who gets the biggest laughs or what attracts the most attention for that episode. You know, like if you're in a lobster suit, that's what we're going to be talking about that episode.
Yeah,
that like Rusty's just nailing like a great understated role as a father.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
And
so it's so interesting now to be able to look back and appreciate those things that at the time we just sort of took for granted, of course, because that's just the nature of all TV. I think you forget. You're like, oh yeah, our concerns are not the same as what an audience is going to be getting out of it. Like,
well, we're also watching our age now,
right?
So it's like we're looking at the characters that are around our age, as opposed to like I identify with the 12-year-old. It's like, no, you now identify. I don't have children, thankfully, but you identify with, like, you know, Rusty's what, 40, 41 when he's doing the show. So it's like, that's now.
I think we figured he was 42.
He was 42. Exactly, he's exactly right.
There you go. So it's like, that's what you're now watching. You're kind of, it's you don't watch that when you're 15, 16 years old. It's like, I'm not, wow, Rusty's performance as the dad was spellbinding, said none of us at
but
12
now,
years old. Yeah.
Now it really is.
It's great.
Something else.
He's amazing.
He's so casual, but like cool.
Yeah. He was the casual, cool dad.
Yeah, yeah. Super casual, super cool, but like very present. You could tell he was like a present father.
Yeah.
Just awesome. So,
with these sandwiches that they're making in the beginning?
I wasn't quite sure.
The ginormous bologna sandwiches?
Is the joke that that's what they want, or that they don't know how to make sandwiches?
It's that's what they want. Because later we see them eating the sandwiches that they make, where they put the chips on the sandwich. Which, by the way, do either of you put chips in your sandwich?
I do.
So good.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best.
The best things ever, yeah.
So, they're making the sandwiches later at night, and they're making them the way they wanted them. Tons of meat and chips in the sandwich.
But this was to go to school in the morning. They're making it.
No, it's a sad. I think it's a weekend.
No. But don't when we start when they're in the kitchen, they're making the sandwiches.
They're going to see the Blue Angels.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is. So they're going to
see the planes.
This episode started with me writing wise. With very, like, for the first time, there was four or five lines where it was like, wow, those are really sitcom-y.
Okay.
Like the, hey, mom, manly food. Hey, Cor, momly food. It's like, what? Like, that's so sitcom. Like, so 90s family sitcom.
Well, I would say, in general, this scene just also plays up the gender stereotypes so heavily.
Yeah.
And leans into them in a way that hopefully is kind of faded with time. But certainly, you know, when he makes the threat about going to ballet lessons because dad's not going to be around, I was like, oh, that sucks, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
And I don't, you know, I mean, I think it was in early 90s. That was something people said, you know, like and nowadays wouldn't fly. But
this episode at the start certainly had a little feel of like a Home Improvement vibe.
Yes. Like
totally
it was.
Did.
That's exactly what I felt, where it was like the men are going to be men and the women got to stay and be women. But you know better than us because you're the mom. Like, it's like it was so kind
and
of.
You're right. Home Improvement is exactly the reference because that was always his shtick, right?
Yep.
Tim Allen's, it was always based on Tim Allen's stand-up, which was rooted in, let's talk about the differences between men and women.
Exactly.
And he's still doing it. I mean, that show he had, you know, 10 years ago was The Last Man on Earth. It's like the same
10
joke,
years ago. I think that
thing.
Ended like last year.
No.
Yes,
no.
It was the Last Man.
It was on for a long time, I know, but... But yeah, it came out about 10 years ago. I mean, I don't know.
The start of it,
But still, he's still playing the same shtick. And we have to remember that was a huge hit show.
Yes, at this time.
And that's where one of my first jobs was on Home Improvement. And Betsy Randall was a big Home Improvement recurring character.
That's right.
She was.
That's where she, that was her first. By the way, Last Man Standing, the last episode was 2021.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah,
I should always wow. trust you when it comes to TV.
It's TV
knowledge.
Sir. It's TV, sir.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's. I was one of the, I remember, I don't think I network tested, but I definitely went back to producers a gazillion times to be one of the kids on Home Improvement.
Like one of the main, like one of the main kids?
Yeah, yeah, like up for one of the main kids, you know,
because
oh, okay. like, I've said this before in the show, when you're a kid actor, you know, there's only so many of you that keep auditioning for parts. And so I was like, I remember being very close to getting a part on Home Improvement and then coming to guest star on the Halloween episode, which was super fun. I got to be a sort of pseudo Sean Hunter in a leather jacket, being a brat. I was always cast as a brat, by the way. That was like my go-to role. And then, you know, I think in part that, and I think back then too, if you were on a network, the executives would remember you for other things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the word would sort of get out. And so I think like part of the reason that Betsy Randall and I both ended up on Boy Meets World was because of Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Because we had an association with, it was a Disney show, a Touchstone television show. It's the same production company mm-hmm. or studio, and then the same network. So there was a lot of exchange between those two worlds.
Well, if you think about it, it makes sense. You've already been approved. You've already gone through the entire process. Yeah. Somebody's already auditioned you. You've already screen tested. Yep. You've already proven yourself. We've already seen that you were funny. It may not have worked out for that show, but we already know this person checks all these boxes. Let's bring them in instead of starting from scratch. So it makes sense. It's actually really smart. It doesn't make it easier when you're trying to break into the industry, but
no.
Nope.
But it is a time saver.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
As a podcast focused on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation.
First steps or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S. and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world.
Summer is steadily approaching, and you know what that means.
Wearing a shirt at the beach so I don't look like a sad radish for the entire vacation?
Okay, maybe.
Being thirsty?
Yes, Ryder, you got it. It is time to go outside and bask in the glory that is sunshine with barbecues and hikes and trips to exotic locations.
With your shirt on?
Yes, with your shirt on.
It is time to jump into a camper van with your son and your wife and
torture everyone. Well, with all these summer activities, it's so important that you stay hydrated.
And we're here to tell you all about Liquid IV. It has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick.
It's clear why Liquid IV is the #1 powdered hydration brand in America.
You just rip open a packet and pour it into your water and bam, you're hydrating with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. But most importantly, it tastes good.
It's so easy and perfect after a workout, which I do to replenish after a nice long run.
And you can travel with Liquid IV right there in your pocket. Add it to a water on a flight or after a big night when you need just a little assistance to get up in the morning.
Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. And with sugar-free flavors like white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime, you can't miss.
Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV.
Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kids screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
So, yeah, we're in the kitchen. Corey and Alan are making sandwiches. They're going to watch the Navy planes.
That's right.
They're talking about their manly food, which is just chips and lots of bologna.
There was a nice, you do.
Yeah.
They tried to make that a thing.
They tried to make that a thing.
There was a couple things they tried to make a thing.
I remember you saying that last time, but I totally didn't remember it. And then I heard it here. I was like, there it is. That's right.
They tried to make that a thing. They tried to make the thing you mentioned, the I am whatever boy. They tried to make that a thing. Yeah, there's a couple times they tried to have a running gag, which just was like, it's not really working.
I noticed in this, too, that this is a cold open that tracks from the kitchen into the living room and then back into the kitchen. And we used to do that all the time on Boy Meets World. We've done it a couple of times in the episodes that we've watched thus far, and we don't do that anymore in TV. Like, or maybe if, at least not on the shows I'm directing. Almost all the shows I direct now, cold open is in one scene, and somebody may leave, but they leave, you don't see where they go, and then they come back.
No, the sitcoms in the 80s and 90s always had those swinging doors.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, those wonderful swinging doors. And that was a big part. It's like, let's have a change in lots of movement. It's really cool. It's more theatrical, really.
And it opens up everything. It opens up the whole set.
It feels so much more natural to see him, you know, walk through that swinging door. And you get the decision then, is the door going to stay open or is it going to stay closed? Are we using it? Do we want to see into the living room? Do we not want to see into the living room? So I thought, I mean, sorry to talk about that.
But it gives
it such a nice flow. Flowy family, real life dynamic that I don't see enough, frankly. Yeah. So we go into Willie Garson.
The late, great Willie Garson.
Yes, Lenny Spinelli.
And such a nice man.
So amazing.
So for those of you who don't know, Willie Garson passed away just last year, right?
Yeah.
It was either 2020 or 2021. Of cancer. And he, you know, he had come back to do Girl Meets World too. Mm-hmm. So I had recently reconnected with him. It's funny because looking at it, you know, going back to this first appearance, Willie and I became friends really at this time. Like he and I connected at this age. So he was probably 25 or maybe a little older.
Do you think he was that young? Yeah. Who knows? I mean, again, trying to judge the age when you're a kid, I would say he was under 30.
So he was born in 1964. So this is 93.
Okay,
so he was 29. Yeah.
29. Yeah. 20, okay. So here he was a 29-year-old and I was a 13-year-old. And he only did a few episodes this first season, but we bonded for whatever reason. I mean, I think Willie was just one of those guys who bonded with everybody. Like he did. Was just,
he was so
he
nice.
Was a great on-set presence. He was so funny and witty and like sharp and just a great actor and a great character actor, could do anything. It's just crazy when I look back at this now to see like the age difference and be like, oh, but I felt like we were equals back then. And when we reconnected on Girl Meets World, we hadn't seen each other for years, but it was like no time had passed. And we just immediately started shooting the backstage, telling the same jokes, telling stories. He was a great storyteller and had so much experience in the industry. Always. And he actually grew up with Michael Jacobs.
Yes.
He went back.
Yeah, they were friends.
So Michael brought him onto the show early on. And then, of course, he came back to marry Cory and Topanga.
Right.
Didn't he come back another time? Didn't he come back three different times?
I think
times?
He was three different characters.
Yeah, he was three different characters. I forget what the second one was.
Yeah,
I know he married Cory and Topanga, and he was Lenny Spinelli, who you could tell they were also trying to make a thing.
Yes.
Like Lenny Spinelli was, because like he did a couple episodes in a row and it was like, oh, Lenny's going to join the cast. And then you never saw Lenny again.
I remember Willie saying to me that Michael told him, yeah, they only have so many slots for regulars.
Right,
If we hadn't have already filled all of our slots by this season, you know. And also he told me that Michael already told him we have Minkus. We already have a sort of nerd character.
Right.
And the show can only handle so much, which is true. It was interesting that Lenny comes in as this like hyper nerd. And it's, you know, yeah. It was like, it's an interesting thing that you have Minkus and Lenny sort of playing the same role, which is like this foil for the other characters, you know, for the so-called, the more socially like, Lenny's so weird. Minkus is so weird.
Right.
But, you know, Willie is great. Like, I thought Willie is, he's hysterical, but it's a pretty over-the-top character.
It is, but you also have to keep in mind what is our lead-in at the time and what is their biggest bread and butter. One of ABC's biggest bread and butters is Family Matters.
Yeah.
Right.
So
where Urkel is just
so
like
Urkel's huge, but
on
then,
another planet as far then, as his character. Right?
Absolutely. But then that then worked against us, which is apparently the reason why they didn't bring Lee back after the first season was because of Urkel, where they went, yeah. We've got Urkel. We can't go Urkel to another big nerd character. And then the Minkus character was gone. So it was started first where it was like, ooh, nerds, that's what everybody's doing now. Let's do that. And then it was kind of like, no, this one took off and the other ones didn't. So
yeah,
let's get rid of the rest of them.
It's super interesting to consider. I mean, just in what we've been talking about in one scene, the bits of other shows, the sort of ecosystem of 90s television that you have to cater to as a show. You know, we have to, because we're trying to get the Home Improvement audience.
Sure.
We're trying to get the Family Matters audience, yeah. Right? And we're a fledgling show to make those little nods, to make an audience feel comfortable by bringing in a character that is a sort of stock character that somewhat recognizable for them from another TV show that they've already enjoyed. That's a really good move,
yeah.
Writing-wise,
yeah.
You know, and creatively. So it's interesting that we are making those sort of little nudges.
And that's part of what was so important about ratings is you could see, well, what was the rating of the show before you and how much of that audience did you keep?
Yep.
So what was the drop off? What was new? Like they could tell everything. Well, new people turned in just for Boy Meets World. This much of the Family Matters audience stuck around. And so you were not just trying to get as many eyeballs on your show as possible. You were trying to retain as much of the viewers from the show before.
And you could know the demographics too. You could know the race, the gender, the age.
Yep.
And you'd have to know what which ones were the ones who buy the most products. The advertisers want to advertise. Like, do they care about kids as much, you know, as they care about those kids' parents sticking around? It's super interesting. Yeah.
It also shows you, though, how one little tweak changes an entire show. I mean, you talked about Home Improvement. Home Improvement is the show about Tim Allen, but had they made it about the exact same show, but through the eyes of the middle kid, it's Boy Meets World, and it's on Friday nights, as opposed to being the number one show in the country at the time and on a Tuesday night primetime show.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that was Home Improvement and Boy Meets World are essentially kind of the same, just from different points of view. And so one of them became just a family show and the other became a giant mega hit. So you just see those little tweaks and everything changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, by the way, the second character Willie played was Mervin from Merrill Lynch. In season 4, Mr. Matthews quit his unfulfilling job at the supermarket. And with an assist from his loving wife, the family winds up buying the local outdoor supply shop in town.
That's when he makes that.
I remember that.
That's when he makes that. Then when it becomes clear that overly concerned Amy is terrible at selling camping supplies to strangers, they look to hire a new employee. Garson very briefly returns to the series in the memorable episode Janitor Dad as one of the many potential job seekers. And it's immediately clear that he has no idea what to do with any of the store's equipment. He also appears in the episode's post-credits tag, revealing he previously worked at Merrill Lynch.
Wow, I don't remember that at all.
You could have just read something from a completely different television show that had nothing to do with
it. This episode. Hawkeye and BJ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No recollection of that.
Yeah, I don't either. Different. I almost feel like I must not have been in that episode, but I
bet you were.
I
bet you were.
I probably
was. Just don't remember it.
But that's the thing. I think at that point, the storylines were separated so much between the A and B storyline that we literally probably weren't even reading that half of the script after the tape.
We just
read our scenes and rehearse for our scenes. And that's where it's going to get really interesting for us to do this rewatch.
This is, I was thinking exactly the same thing, because it's like, we're at the beginning where they're all still made such a huge impact because we're all starting, we're doing the show and we're all together. And this is the coolest thing. And then at the very end, they all made a big impact because the show's ending. It's the middle where it's going to get muddled, where we're going to be like, I don't remember this at all.
Seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Exactly. Where it's just like, what? I mean, you just read that. I remember, I would have sworn that the outdoor store was like season 6.
Right, yeah, season 4
apparently.
I thought
that was way at the end.
And then, of course, he was the minister who married Cory and Topanga. He played 3 different roles. So
awesome.
He's fantastic and wonderful. We love him to death.
Actually,
and he
married Harold and Mervyn. What were their names?
I don't remember.
I can't either, because Eric steals the wedding for them. So Myra and Harold.
Myra and Harold.
Is
okay.
Who he married.
What did Willie play on Girl Meets World? Do you remember, Danielle? Did he play Lenny Spinelli, or did he come back as any one of these characters, or just came on as a completely new?
No, he was a completely different character.
Always brought him on as something new.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's
which is great, which
bit.
Is actually kind of great.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, so after the awful sexist ballet or homophobic ballet lesson joke.
So
then we move into the bedroom.
No, we're still in. Oh, yeah. This is when, the ballet. Oh, the horror. The Lenny Spinelli. Oh, the horror. I thought that was just
he's got that kind of Mr. Matthews. Like, it was very strange.
Yeah. And then we get the ballet joke, which, like you said,
is just horrifying.
Does not.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Doesn't age well.
It's not it. It doesn't have it.
No, exactly. I grew up in the ballet. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, so that's the end of the cold open. And now we're into our credits that still, every time I watch them, I'm like, this song opening is a ride at Disneyland.
Wow, it is.
It is really crazy. And remember when we used to do all the parades?
Oh, the Hollywood Christmas Parade?
The Hollywood Christmas Parade.
And they just keep playing the song.
Christmas Parade.
The opening
song.
Yeah,
that was our second season. The opening of the second season, we got invited to the Hollywood Christmas Parade, which became kind of a tradition for Ben and I. We would always do the Hollywood Christmas Parade. You know, they would invite a bunch of actors and people on TV shows to parade through downtown Hollywood on floats. And it sounds like kind of big and world famous because of the name Hollywood Christmas, but the reality is it's a very local tradition. It's something that is for the people that actually live in Hollywood, not like tourists coming to town.
It's not the Parade of the Roses in Pasadena. It's not like that.
This
kind
is a
of size,
very
yeah.
small local thing, but it's super fun and weird. And and we had a float for Boy Meets World where our theme song was on loop. And we had to do the parade route for 2 hours, waving to the audience.
You guys.
Will, I don't think, were you there that year? I don't think you were there for some reason.
Me?
Will, yeah. Were you there?
I've never done it.
Oh.
Okay, yes.
I literally never did it.
But that year it was Danielle, Ben, me, Rusty, Betsy, and Tony had just joined the cast. And he was definitely there. So whatever, it was part of the second season. It was the December of the second season. We did the Hollywood Christmas Parade. And we had already moved on from this theme song. It was a nightmare.
It was
I remember
crazy making.
Yeah. Well, it is. You're right. It's right. It's listening to. Yeah.
Well,
it's listening to It's a Small World
like
over and over and over again. Yeah. It's that same
that
kind
experience.
Of thing.
Yes.
Yikes.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandy.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Okay, sorry to bring us back, but...
No, bring us back.
Willie Garson, how did I forget this? This just shows you what a terrible memory I have. Willie Garson on Girl Meets World returned in the episode Girl Meets Popular. He plays Harrison Miller, a cutthroat lawyer who worked at the same firm as Topanga. And when the firm attempts to shut down the bakery run by a sweet old lady, a conflicted Topanga reaches back in time to find her old teenage self. So this is like,
it was your episode. Yeah,
it's when I flashed back to I wore the same, the Topanga
and
dress.
They put the
lipstick on my face and I had the bangs. It was like,
I was shadowing that episode. It was right before I directed my first episode. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I.
So next week we'll be doing the Girl Meets World rewatch.
Yeah. I don't remember any of those either. So
apparently.
We'll do that too.
Wow.
So we get the opening and then we are in Corey and Eric's bedroom. And this is where Alan wakes up Corey to watch the rest of the baseball game with him. Perfect opportunity to have the big brother join him on the couch to watch the baseball game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was watching this with my wife and she's like, you know, it's so funny. We're a bunch of episodes in and Alan doesn't realize he has two sons. Because that's what it's like. It's just like, hey, Corey, come and be my favorite kid. And then the way out is like, you know, oh, yeah, by the way, hey, Eric, Do you want to come? I think your name's Eric. Do you want to come downstairs and watch the baseball game as well? It's just we had not yet established that Eric was important in the show in any way, shape, or form. So,
I guess it could be played that you weren't that your character wasn't a baseball fan. So he went to Corey specifically because Corey was a big baseball fan. But the first episode
is about taking me. No, this was Eric is not really established.
Well, but you
were
supposed to be into girls while Corey's still into sports. I think that was kind of the distinction.
They obviously had to have, it seemed like such an afterthought where it's like, oh, that's right, I should invite Eric too.
It is what it is
at this point though with the show. It's a Ben heavy show. I mean, it was Ben's core, Ben's boy. We're all still trying to find our characters, but it was just hearing my wife say that was very funny. It's like, oh yeah, he doesn't know he has two kids. He's got two sons.
So then we go down to the living room. Alan and Corey are eating their chips on their sandwiches, and they're watching the baseball game, and of course
drinking their cola. So yeah. Prominent. Is that still a thing, or do shows now just show brands, right? Show brands nowadays.
Kids shows. No, we still Greek everything.
Big shows, maybe, because like Coke will sponsor the Big Bang Theory or something like that, maybe. Right. But I think the rest of them are, you're still like, it's cola. I mean, it was always the cereal, even on Seinfeld until later when they started to really, it was always Odie's.
That's right.
Where it was just like, that's what you would always have. You'd have the Odie's cereal, and instead of, it's like you couldn't say, it was like Malk.
Do either of you guys remember how much hatred Michael had for the paper bags that you brought home from the grocery store that didn't make the sound?
They look like crap.
They look terrible, and you can tell that they're not.
Yeah. Oh, I see them in movies and kids shows, and I'm always, it's one of those visual things that, but I wonder, is that just an insider thing, or does everybody notice that?
I don't know.
I think it's an insider thing. Like, do you get triggered when you see every kid show or every movie with kids where they go to school, they all have that same
posters.
Folder mm-hmm. or the same folder that they're carrying that we always had for Boy Meets World? It was like a yellow folder.
With a generic sport looking thing, someone
like
running.
Sports. Yeah. It was, that's what it was.
Which one you're talking about.
Yeah. And every time I see that, I'm like, oh God, they got
you
generic.
Can even see the same posters in the back of classrooms all the time.
That was another thing Michael made a big deal about, was like, please take these things off the wall. Give me real looking.
Yeah.
Maybe we should explain just in case. So paper bags, like brown paper bags, make a lot of noise. And so in films and film and television, you can't have the crinkling sound of the bags. So the alternative were these plastic cloth bags that look like brown paper bags, but don't actually make any of the noise, but they don't have the right sheen. They reflect light differently. So you can always spot them. So now that we've told you, dear listener,
you'll know this.
Time you watch a movie or a TV show from the 80s or the 90s, they've kind of gone out of fashion because they actually don't show brown paper bags anymore. But you'll notice the brown paper bags just don't quite look right.
And they don't feel great either. They're like soft
I hated them.
No one liked them.
Unpacking them and packing them, because it's like you got to do, if it's got to match, you walk in, you put it down, you unpack it, then you pack it again, you walk out, you do it by the third take. You're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Please don't make me do
this. This is terrible.
That was just a little memory that popped up for me. So there's some father-son bonding, but Corey looks at him and says, thank you for waking me up. This is better than going to watch the Blue Angels any day.
Very sweet moment. That kind of the look that Ben gives him is great. It's very natural, very real. Just kind of looking at his dad like, this is awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's cute. And then the next day we're in Feeny's classroom and Minkus wrote an essay, as part of his answer, just for fun. Another joke that just isn't funny these days is, that Sean's character is going to be a plumber.
Yeah. Nope.
That's why I wrote down the same note.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
All these, the plumber jokes,
all these classes.
But I think we're going to get a lot of those. We're going to get a lot of the, making fun of Sean for being poor kind of things.
Yeah.
Especially in the first or second season. Yeah.
Jokes that just, I guess people thought were funny at the time. I don't know how someone didn't say, hey, this seems rude.
Yeah.
You know, this one didn't bother me as much because it's coming from Minkus. Like, you know, this sort of, the idea that Minkus thinks he's better than Sean
right.
Doesn't bother me as much because Minkus is in every other context, the underdog. Do you know what I mean? I sort of saw it as like, yeah, that is something that he could attack Sean for. But yes, that, you know, it didn't strike me as like the audience is necessarily going to be laughing at plumbers as much as laughing at this little nerd snobbery. Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, it's not like that. I mean, you could also, I guess, say you could turn it around where it's like Minkus would never be bullied. Like, he's like, I don't care that I'm tiny. I'm going to throw it back the second that I get it. So, I mean, coming from that standpoint, it's actually very cool. It's just the way they chose to have him do it was a little strange.
Also, plumbers make great money.
Huge money. let's call a plumber right now, and hopefully you'll get one in a week, and it's going to cost a fortune because they're very skilled, and they make a ton of money.
Yeah, so doesn't land. Okay.
No, doesn't land.
And Sean calls him a suck-up. Corey then falls asleep on his test paper. Mr. Feeney collects it, and he has only filled out one question.
Well, that's the funniest joke of the scene, by the way. You only answered one question and you answered it wrong.
Yeah.
So what do you think I'm going to give you? I thought that was a very funny joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fajita, si, senor.
Si, senor, yes.
He says that the reason he fell asleep is because he was staying up late to watch the baseball game with his dad. And then, we also get the reveal that the Nobel Prizes were given out the night before, and Minkus had stayed up. He watched that himself, and he's fresh as a daisy.
God, Leibars is funny.
He is so funny.
He is very funny. I'd like to very quickly, just very briefly, go back to the scene before, because we didn't touch on, I thought Rusty's transition to the joke of you can never tell your mom was also very funny. That was a good run there, where he went from no, your mom could, to yeah, she can never find out about this. That was a funny joke, I thought.
It's funny. I actually didn't quite understand it, because at first it was like, you know, your mom, he starts with your mom can never find out about this. And then he says, you know, because it's father son bonding. And then he pauses and he's like, no, she can never know about this.
Yeah, because I think in his head, that's what I liked, was in his head, he was kind of like, well, maybe it'd be okay. Yeah, no, she can never find out.
Okay. He was like trying to find a way where maybe she could know if we called it father son bonding.
Right. And then he's like, yeah, no, this is never going to work. I thought it was funny. Sorry.
It is. No, it's cute. I love the moment between the two of them, but I did talk about it. I was like, I wonder. Is this supposed to be, was there supposed to be some double entendre here I'm not picking up on?
No, I don't think, not like the grounded.
Yes, grounded.
Which is a great double entendre.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll
when
get
he
that.
Says that, yeah,
we'll get
when
to
he,
that.
Okay, so we're now back at the house in the living room. Corey comes downstairs and like a total doof, probably because he's tired, he completely forgets that he's not allowed to talk about the game right in front of his mother.
What?
He says, Dad, I failed a test because I was staying up late with you watching a game. And we see Rusty doing the pointing, like she's right there. And then he, Alan, gets grounded.
Gets grounded, which is a very funny joke.
Yeah.
Well, which led to the awkward moment from my son, who was watching it with me, saying, well, how can he get grounded?
Oh, gosh.
I hope you said, when a man and woman are really in love.
I don't know. I just totally avoid it. I just kind of move on. I was like, I'm not going to get into this.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
So that's a very...
Very, very funny, though. That was a funny joke, and that is one of those jokes where you don't get it when you're
12
years old. But man,
seven.
Yeah, or seven. And then as an adult, you're like, that's a funny joke.
And they did it in a way, too, where even the way, you know, is that true? Can she ground you? Well, and... In some ways, yes.
In a certain way, yeah, exactly.
It was well handled.
I thought so too.
Okay, so Alan says, "Fear not. I'm going to go into the backyard, not the side yard, the backyard, and I'm going to talk to Feeney, and I'm going to get him to let Corey take a makeup test." And we all can probably guess how that's going to go. He goes into the backyard, and Feeney is there, and he says, "Yeah, I'm willing to talk to you about it." He explains the situation. I felt like, as a parent, I would have never had any of this dialogue with Corey standing there. If I were going to talk to Mr. Feeney.
Oh, I get that. Yeah, the
fact that Corey is there from the beginning, in my mind, is going to put Feeney in a situation where I'm going to then seem like to my student who I have to sit in class with that his father has power to adjust what I can do. So. Yeah. I the whole time I was like, oh, make him go inside. You're not going to have a successful conversation with your son standing there.
No, but this
there.
Is the cheat that the show still at this point is really from Corey's perspective.
Yep.
Right.
And I don't think you could have done this scene without Corey being present for it. Yeah. You know, I think later on in the show, it'll get to that point. But like we've talked about, Ben is in every scene.
Yeah.
And that's actually, he is an audience surrogate. It's his journey every one of these episodes.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you could get rid of Corey. Corey has to be there for this to witness the tension and the difference, you know.
And to witness his dad getting brought down by the same foil who brings down everything in his life.
Yeah, it does give Peeny. It gives Mr. Feeny a whole nother level of power. It really does. It takes him up a whole nother notch because it's like, oh, wow, he can even do that to my dad.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. In Corey's eyes, he's just becomes even more giant, which is kind of an interesting way to look at it.
It's Feeny's intelligence and cultural authority versus dad's social skills, right?
Yeah.
And like, dad's so cool and easygoing and fun and charming, and Mr. Feeny is just so, you know, tough. And the fact that those two go mano a mano in this scene is great.
It gets to the point where, you know, Alan thinks he's gonna walk out there and just be like, all right, I'll explain it to him, it's no big deal. And you see his face like, wait, I don't understand what the big deal is.
Yeah, why are
they kind of go at each other a little bit?
It's
great. I mean, it really is great. Now, we have to keep in mind, this is 8:30 on a Friday night in a kid show,
right?
And there's two adults kind of snapping at each other a little bit, which you don't see a whole lot of.
Respectfully, but
it was absolutely respectfully. It's not like they were going to come to blows, but it was like two adults having a conflict.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to watch that.
There's not an easy answer. I mean, and that's, I think that is some of the special sauce that made Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
The gray area. Yeah. Like willing to like allow, you know, and we'll talk about where this episode ends up, but willing to allow this tension to not be resolved easily.
Yeah.
Just introduce the tension, introduce two different adults being right and try and work that out.
That's the thing. That's an interesting way to say it. It's two different adults being right, because it's not two different adults being wrong. It's two different adults being right, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, that's cool.
So Feeny says, no, the F is going to stand. There is going to be no makeup test. He says he's heard every single excuse in his 35 years of teaching for why a student has failed the test. They go back and forth and it becomes kind of a big thing. They go back into the house. This made me laugh out loud. Corey calls Feeny a butt, which doesn't make me laugh out loud. It's funny, but doesn't make me laugh out loud. Alan gets on him. Don't you dare.
Yep.
He is an incredible teacher. Incredible teachers are very rare, makes a big deal about it. Corey then leaves the room and Alan calls him a butt. And I laughed out loud.
Yep.
This was Indy's favorite part, obviously. But I think that, like seeing that is the magic of, you know, of introducing the tension and showing how a parent, an adult can have complicated feelings, right? Like, here is the as opposed to the sort of father knows best or the easy answer where it's like one where it's like, no, he's going to tell Corey one thing. And then the second Corey leaves the room, he's going to repeat exactly what Corey said. And I think it's brilliant.
It is. It's
so funny.
I think
that also happens a lot with parents and kids, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I the kid's out of the room and it's like, God, I hate that guy. You know,
this is what Rusty brought up when he was here, you know, which was that there is a difference. There's two different forms of authority. There's a parental authority and there's teacher authority. And he was only playing one side of that equation. And that is just great. I think that's such an essential identity of the show at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty special. I like this fun side of Alan that we get to see. So Alan sets the dinner table and he ends up having this great conversation with Amy. She tells him that forks go on the other side. And again, she's just kind of, at this point, relegated to household.
We'll see you when we're in the kitchen, Amy.
Yeah, exactly. You'll give us an apple. You'll tell us how to set the dinner table. It would definitely, up until this point, there hadn't been much for Betsy to do.
No.
She wasn't given the same kind of gifts that Rusty had been given with his scripts.
Well, Bill, Rusty, and Ben are, at this point, the only characters that are being delved into at all.
Yeah.
I mean, in the entire show, nothing, everybody else, it's like, all right, let's see what those three characters will do. And then somebody will come in and have a line. And then somebody will come in and have a line. And then that's it. And it's like, let's get back to these guys. So it was interesting how they were starting to create characters, but it was really just those three.
They represent the strongest pitch at this point of the show, which was your teacher lives next door, right?
Right. Like,
what does that mean? What does it mean when you have a little fence between your dad you know, your home right. life and your teacher. And, right. and so they're playing that out. And I think, right, you know, but the I show think, hasn't moved on from that yet.
But I mean, I think today, if you were to do the same thing today, you could easily, and maybe it would even be more interesting, have exactly the same storyline, except it's Amy that got him up to watch the baseball game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It was very much, it's still very male centric where it's like, why couldn't the mom have kept him up too late to do something? You know what I mean? So it was like, that's where the change comes for me, where it's kind of like, yeah. I see what they were doing, but, and then it's like, she's going to explain to him why he's wrong in the kitchen while yeah. letting him know, you know, where the forks go. It's like, okay.
Yeah. She says, you know, you can't just change all of your plans so that you're able to spend time with Corey. So you can't basically mess up Corey's life because that's what the timing that works out best for your schedule. You know, watching the mm-hmm. late night game worked best for Alan. And so he got Corey up so that it fit into his day-to-day life. And that's then what ultimately ended up ruining Corey's school life. So Lenny comes back into the Matthews house while Amy and Alan are kissing, and he acts like it's a real catastrophe. He's giving Amy mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Lenny says there's a problem at the store again, and Alan says there is an assistant manager to assist the manager, not just to come and tell the manager every time there is a problem. Alan tries to go out and play ball with Corey, but Lenny says they put the lighter fluid next to the rotisserie chicken, and that lets Alan know that there may be a fire at the store.
This is also, to me, I remember this joke.
This joke, me too. I do
remember
too.
This joke. I don't know why.
Is it a good joke, or is it just that it's so, because it might
I
be
think
too
it's
clever
a
by
great
half.
Joke.
How much
I think
of the store is left?
So funny.
I think that is a phenomenal joke. I think it holds
I
up.
I definitely heard it, and I remembered it, but I also was like, does this work, or do I just think it's funny because I remember it? Like,
I think it works great. I really do. I think it's a very clever joke.
I think we should do a poll online.
Okay,
let's do that. This script, by the way, was written by Michael Jacobs, April Kelly, and Jeff Minnell. Whose joke do you think that was? If you had to guess. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I would say that's a Michael joke.
You think that's a Michael joke?
I do. That's the most Michael joke.
I think it's a Michael joke. I think that is a very clever joke. How much of the store is left?
It's very funny. I wrote it down. I loved it.
And I remembered it before it happened. I turned to my wife and I said, oh, there's a great joke coming up. And I know I ruined it for her by saying there's a great joke, but I remember the fact that I even love this joke. Yeah.
We really should have asked Bill and Bonnie what their memories of April were.
Oh, geez. We forgot about
that. We missed
that.
An opportunity to talk about our April Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Our long-lost April Kelly.
That's all right.
All right. So we get that great joke. How much of the store is left?
Stuh.
And then Alan knows he has to go. He has to go to the store. We move into the living room, and Alan gets the opportunity to tell Corey that he has had a great talk with Amy. He realizes that he was wrong and that Mr. Feeney was right. And he says he would love to be able to stay home and hang out with Corey all the time, but that's just not possible because apparently the family has gotten used to eating. And that Feeney is right. So then we move back into the backyard, and Corey is playing with his tennis ball, and it goes over the fence into the backyard.
Truly the worst fake tennis ball hit in the history of tennis ball hits.
Not only that, but the way David Trainer was very clever with the way he shot this, because if you actually like they did a really good job of making you're just focused on the Matthews family side of the yard.
Right.
You see the ball go over, and then you only see one little corner of Feeney's backyard, and then go back over to just seeing the Matthews backyard and Corey hop over. And if you then, when you pull back the camera and we see where Bill is, it would have been impossible to have not seen him the entire time. He's a foot away. Sitting in a robe. It's pretty well lit. They tried to make it look dark, but you really do have to think about, like, wait, how would he have not seen him? But the way David Trainer shot it, you do kind of buy that he didn't see him until he hops over, but it's impossible.
Feeney's sitting there. He's set up two, as Bill would say, chaise longs mm-hmm. next to each other. With a full tray, like he's got the whole thing laid out in a tray next to him, and it just Ben, everybody who has ever in their life hit a tennis ball on a racket, you hold the racket straight up and you hit the tennis ball up in the air. The all of a sudden just turning the racket sideways so it goes into the other yard was like, oi, okay, I know we got to get there, but yikes! And then it was like, oh, and look who's 6 inches away.
Look who's right there behind me,
Mr. Feeney.
Unbelievable. Yeah, because
I mean, this is the degree of realism with sitcoms, right?
It was. Like, it's just, what you have this to is do.
Why,
but
this is why the form I don't think is as popular anymore. It's because we've come to we don't want our sitcoms to be as cartoony or as unrealistic. We like the idea of realism.
Well, that's the thing. I'm literally as we speak, I'm watching which I know I should have watched a while back is WandaVision, which is the Marvel show about Wanda and Vision.
Right?
No, the whole thing is about every episode is a different era of sitcom. So it starts in a 50s sitcom, the next episode goes to a 60s sitcom, then it's a 70s sitcom, and they're hitting every trope along the way. And so it's funny that my next episode is the 90s sitcom, and I'm waiting to see exactly.
Oh,
but we were
man.
Just in the 80s episode, and it's like it literally starts with like the family ties. It's you see Wanda and Vision together, and they're painting their picture like the opening title sequence, and so they're hitting every trope. And it is, you do have those kind of things, but part of me thinks that's why it doesn't work anymore. Part of me thinks that's what people want to see again, is that kind of, let me just escape for 22 minutes. And I know a lot of it is cheesy, and it's going to be moments like this where it's like, Mr. Feeny, yeah. I didn't see you there 3 inches away, but people want to experience that again. So yeah. We'll see. But yeah, it was that kind of like, oh, and he's out there and it's perfectly set up for another person to sit down next to him, even though he lives alone. You know, it's like, what? Okay, why?
Yeah,
the
why
two?
Would he have brought two chairs out?
Yeah, you got the two chairs and all that. It was very interesting.
Yeah. So he goes over the fence and Mr. Feeny's there. He's having a drink. He invites Corey to sit down and have a drink with him. And this little Ben, mischievous, pouring the drink in
great.
The glass is very. Classic. I remember Ben, just little devil in his eyes, having fun pouring that.
And he played it perfectly too. The whole kind of look of like, I can't believe, is he going to really let me do this? I thought it was,
yeah,
he was
it's
great.
Like the pilot with him dancing and trying to get out of detention. It's like the same sort of. Yeah.
Exactly.
Ben
and I love
hit some moments that were pretty darn good. He
I
really
love,
did.
Bill's look of like, you want a big drink, huh? Like Bill like sees him doing it and acknowledge, like just kind of gives this little laugh, like an inside chuckle of, you're going to pour the whole thing in there, huh? It's very cute. And then he reveals that it's apple juice and that Mr. Feeny only has one glass of claret.
Claret with dinner.
With dinner. Yeah. And isn't it like once a year? It's like at Thanksgiving?
Something like that.
I think
he says
claret at Thanksgiving. And then this scene is... just again
magical.
Bill puts on a clinic.
Yeah. But how much different does the scene play to you now, knowing what we know, just talking to Bill and Bonnie about how Bonnie said, no, Bill, you could tell when I was looking at it, I could tell that Bill was essentially talking to himself
as
a young actor. To me kind of changed the whole scene again. I mean, the scene was amazing, but knowing that moment where it is, it's like, oh, wow, he was a child actor. And now it was amazing to me. That gave me chills when I heard that.
Yeah. Mr. Feeny tells the story that there was a war going on in Europe when he was a child and he couldn't have the things he wanted, buttered toast and sneakers. And his mom would tell him that he couldn't have those things because there was a war going on in Europe. And so all he wanted was for the war to end so that he could have the things that he wanted. And he prayed every night for the war to end. And then he heard at school that Truman that night was going on the radio to announce the end of the war. And he just so badly wanted to stay up and listen to the president basically give him the answer to his prayers. And his dad told him that, no, tomorrow is a school day. I don't want you up with me. And he said he really what it was about. Corey assumes, well, that means your dad really knew the value of education. And Feeny says, no, he just didn't want me hanging out with him and his drinking buddies.
The idea that they added the word drinking to it changed the entire kind of history of, like, you instantly got it, Mr. Feeny's dad.
Yeah, backstory. Feeny backstory.
That's all you need.
Well, it's also
was
established.
That.
Well, you already have. It's also the counterpoint to, or it's the second part of only having one glass of
exactly
yes.
You
yes.
know that you've established that he is a temperate drinker and barely ever drinks. Here he is. He's got a snifter of apple juice. That's his nighttime treat. And then you get the payoff, which is that his dad was clearly drinking too much with his buddies and not spending time with him. That is That's wonderful. And I never remembered that.
No,
I did remember the speech. I remembered Bill giving, like, I remembered lines from this, like, you know, the war in Europe, because I remember being slightly confused by it, thinking he was from Europe.
Right.
because I thought Bill was British.
Right.
Which we talked about. But yeah, no, I remember this monologue. I remember, and it's really touching. It's a really, you know, it's touching in all the backstory with Feeny and getting a sense of his humanity. It's also Feeny admitting he's wrong.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And we haven't had much of that on this show. Like, even, you know, this is one of the few moments where all of that sort of like monologue-y Feenyism is actually in service of admitting that, you know, Corey's dad was right.
Now, is that great. What he's, now here's my question. And again, just to, is that what he's doing? I'm asking because it's like, did he admit that he's like, wrong, or does he, what he's saying, like, he wished he didn't have to do what he did to Corey, but he did have to do what he did to
Yes.
Corey. Like, he's still also, not going to let him take the test.
No, right. But he's also admitting, that's what's so great about what, you know, what we were saying earlier, that both the adult, both the adult authority figures are both right. And they're also both wrong. You know, like they can both, all four things can be true.
Right.
You know,
right,
like
it's
up to Corey to sort of navigate these relationships and to recognize that, yes, he can't take the test again, but also, you know,
woken him up. Yeah,
he should have a relationship with his dad, because Mr. Feeny also regrets not having a relationship with his dad. And, you know, his dad's going to tell him Mr. Feeny was right. Mr. Feeny's going to tell him his dad was right. Then they're both going to say they're both wrong. You know, like, this is a really, it's nice. It's nuanced. It's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's ambiguous. It's the world is the world. And, you know, you got to.
Well, it's the equivalent, again, of adding the word drinking. You could have gotten exactly the same thing from that speech if he said, my dad didn't want me up with him and his buddies. But by adding the word drinking, you had a whole nother layer thrown onto the thing.
And like Ryder said, it throws you right back to just a few minutes before, where you find out he's a very tempered and controlled drinker.
Yep.
And, you know, I do think that that's actually he's saying that he was wrong to have acted as though Alan should not have woken him up. His dad, he's basically saying your dad did the right thing waking you up, and you did the right thing watching the game. But I also still did the right thing by failing you. I shouldn't give you another opportunity to do it. Sometimes it's, even if you know the outcome is going to be an F, it's still the right thing to do.
It's worth it.
Worth it for the relationship and for that bonding. You're only going to get that one thing. So it is. It's really nuanced parenting. And
my dad did that to me. There would be once or twice a year for, you know, probably from the time I was in the third grade to the time I was in the seventh or eighth grade, my dad would pull me out of school. We would drive to New York City and go see a baseball game. I mean, we would go to see the Mets. We would go to see the Yankees. We'd go sometimes to Boston and see the Sox. But it was like, I'd miss a day of school. And he's like, no, I'm just going to pick you up and we're just going to go see a baseball game. Wow. And that, I mean, I remember, and he's right. I remember that more than I remember whatever the hell I was going to learn in the fourth grade that day. You know, it was, you know, stuff like that is hugely important. So that's, I mean, yeah, that's, you do remember that stuff.
So on this front, should we play a little Too Much Shirts?
Too Much Shirts.
Yes, Too Much
Tell
Shirts,
Tell me about
please.
The time with
this
your
was
son.
An interesting one because for whatever reason, Indy wanted to talk about acting. our pregame discussion ended up being more about acting. And just so you know, he's got dinosaurs on the brain right now because Jurassic World has brought dinosaurs back into our lives. Big time.
Brilliant film.
But then, this ended up being the post conversation. I kept trying to bring him back to what the episode was actually about. And you'll see.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeny has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
Do you think being an actor is cool?
Yeah.
What do you think it's like to be an actor?
I don't know. It's kind of hard, maybe. You have to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Do you think you'd be a good actor?
I don't know.
Do you think there's anything different about you as far as the way you play make-believe or do voices?
Not really.
Can we hear your T-Rex roar?
Really?
Yeah, let's hear it. And go. All right, now let's hear a raptor. Oh, please do the teenage girl.
No.
Where did you come up with this?
I don't know. I just came up with it. Mom, he's mimicking me. Oh my God, Scarlett, a boy just texted me.
Let's watch episode 103.
All right, any thoughts, Indy?
It was crazy. There was a lot going on. The Corey guy didn't talk to the Sean dude, which is you, but became friends with the mustache guy, Feeny. And then there were a lot of jackets. He stays up late with his dad watching a baseball game and fails a math test.
So, what's the difference between Mr. Feeny and Corey's dad?
Wait, What's Corey's dad's name?
Alan.
Alan Grant?
No. Alan Matthews.
Probably an old man by now, because he was already old, older than you.
He's the exact same age I am right now.
Oh, so he's now probably like 80, 60. Mr. Feeney's a butt.
He does say that, but then what does Mr. Feeney end up telling Corey? Does he say your dad shouldn't have let you stay up that late?
Yeah, like how right now it is 9 o'clock.
So I should be putting you to bed is what you're saying?
Let's see what time it is. It is 9:56.
But we really should be going to bed. Maybe that's the lesson we should take from this episode, is that it's time for you to go to bed.
Why? It's actually 3 hours. So it's actually right now like 7, right? 6.
Let's go to bed.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. I couldn't believe it. We ended up exactly in the situation. He could not figure out math because he was too tired.
What time was it? I mean, what time? What was the time zone? Was it 3 hours?
Yeah, we had changed from LA to New York, so we had adjusted 3 hours. So
normally
he goes to bed at 7:30 or 8, but we stayed up to watch Boy Meets World that night.
Oh,
so
that's so funny.
I kept him up. Yeah.
God, that's funny. First of all, as a voiceover actor, he does the voices pretty well.
Yeah, he's getting there.
So yeah,
it's that raptor is incredible.
Yeah, he's going to end up like a Fred Tatasciore or one of these men and women that Frank Welker, who it's like every time you hear a dog or a cat or any kind of sound, it's actually somebody doing that. It's a guy doing that. So
he just obsesses over it, you know. And this is what I was trying to say to him about acting. It's like, you know, he's just got that make believe thing where he goes into it and he cares about the quality of the sound, and then he just improvs like that teenage girl thing. Then I just don't, you know, he does this. So it's pretty funny. But yeah, I love that he's asking me if I think I would be an actor as ever watching the show on which I was an actor. What do you think I did back then?
How do you think you'd be as an actor, Dad, if you were an actor?
Exactly. Thank you, Indy.
Yes, thank you. He noticed too much jackets.
Too much jackets this week.
Too many jackets and robes.
Wow.
Too much shirts.
So at the end of this scene, Mr. Feeney says that if he did have a son and the opportunity presented itself to keep his son up late, he would. And I think it's very sweet that he says, I did well up, fully welled up. Tears did not fall yet.
But you welled.
But I welled up.
But you welled. Did we ever find out, and again, we'll get into this as we go further in the series, did we ever find out why Mr. Feeney never had kids?
I don't know.
I don't remember that either, if that was actually ever really addressed, if why he never had children.
You know what also occurred to me during this episode is, did Eric have Mr. Feeney? Did we ever establish that in the show?
Yes. I think we do. I think we do, have
we do?
Actually establish that later in the
because
day.
Because I was waiting for there to be a reference to, like, I remember your older brother, Corey.
Guys,
you know, because I feel like
that
didn't
exist.
Standard thing.
It's Mr. Peeny.
It's Mr. Peeny.
Yeah. Correct pronunciation
is
Peeny.
And it's because Eric didn't exist at this point. It was walk in, say a line. Sean was kind of the same. You walk in, you say a line. You walk out and the show goes on.
Be the butt of a plumber joke.
That's exactly. Or for me, it was like, yeah, Lenny, of course I know you. And then you walk out and then, you know, that's it. So they just hadn't established us at all yet. So it's just, we're getting there slowly as characters, slowly, but slowly.
Mm. Slowly, but slowly.
Exactly.
Okay. So then we are back in Eric and Corey's room. Corey asks Amy what's going on with Alan, thinking Feeney is right. Feeney thinking Alan is right. And, then Alan comes in and Corey says, well, what's, you know, why are you saying goodnight to me? What's going to happen if something exciting happens on the TV tonight? And Alan says that no matter what, he will find out in the morning because his dad will always be there in the morning to tell him what went on the night before.
Very sweet.
And then we get the moment where Corey references that Alan is no longer grounded. And he says, yeah, he's not coming back tonight.
Yeah.
And I was creeped out.
Yeah, it's a little, I was too. I've got to be totally honest with you. The 12-year-old kid lying in bed going,
he's not coming back tonight.
My dad's getting something tonight is a little weird to me.
Kind of weirded me out.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out, by the way, also how he put it together all of a sudden. Like early in the episode, he
had no idea.
He didn't know what it meant. And now I guess he does. And I kept trying to think, is there an alternative interpretation of this line that I'm missing and I'm going to a place that's not?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I also think kind of the parents in front of the kid going, am I still grounded? Like, let's go talk about it. Was a little like, wow, you're okay. Could you do that in the hallway maybe? Like, do we need to do that right in front of the 12-year-old kid?
It's so funny. I wonder how much we're going to run up against this with the show, you know, like, and I don't know how much of it is the times changing, is us getting older, but I definitely think that, and in some ways, I think it has to go back, it goes back to the idea that that network television was a bigger tent, you know, like it had to appeal to grownups and kids at the same time.
Sure.
And having a slightly risque, but still pretty buried joke was a sweet spot that like a network television kids show. Now a kids show would never make any references to this on Disney Channel or Nickelodeon because that's where those kids shows have gone to exist. They don't have to appeal to adults in the same way.
Look at what Bill and Bonnie talked about last time was that and I think we had this on our show as well, where the writers and producers of St. Elsewhere would always try to quote slide one in or slip one in, where he talked about the tulips on the organ, where it's that I think there were times where Michael Jacobs and the writers would try to do that as well. Like, let's see what we can get away with. Let's see how far we can go. Let's see. And I think that's a pretty common thing for writers and producers to do.
I mean, we've already talked about this off mic, and it's not going to happen probably until next season really with this show, but you know, like I'm incredibly weirded out by how much making out there was.
Oh yeah,
a ton.
That makes me way more uncomfortable than like the joke that the parents are possibly making love in another room. I'm more weirded out by the fact that we're going to have to watch episodes where 13 14 year old Ryder is making out with 13 14 year old girls for like entire episodes. Like that's weird to me.
Eric too.
And you don't see that on television anymore, so I do think the culture has changed, right? Or I don't know. Maybe it's still a thing that happens. But it was definitely like the idea that we would kiss so much on this show, and then audiences would do the woo. Like that was like a part of our culture. And, you know, watching this with my son is going to be a little weird.
Yeah. That's going to be a little uncomfortable.
We both went through that. There was like, oh, let's give Sean and Eric just girls every week. It's like, oh, okay. And it was every week for a while. And it was really kind of weird. Yeah, it did. That's going to be jarring.
Well, next episode, we have episode number 104, Corey's Alternative Friends.
Is that an important episode in the show?
A very special guest pops up, really? The reveal of Topanga Lawrence.
I don't think the character is going to last. I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's going to have any... I don't see a future for this girl. I don't think it's going to have any kind of effect on the show at all, frankly.
We also have a very special guest joining us that week for David Trainer. The director of...
Legendary director.
Who not only directed Corey's Alternative Friends and the episode we just recapped today, but every single episode other than the pilot in season one and season two.
He
came back to direct another episode in like season six, maybe season seven. So he did a total of 45 episodes of Boy Meets World.
And was somehow taller when he came back.
He's 6'7", isn't he?
6'7".
Yeah. Unbelievable how tall that man is.
Yes.
So anyway, that is next week. Episode number 104, Corey's Alternative Friends, originally aired October 15th, 1993. And I had a really great time with you guys. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show, and you can email us your thoughts, your opinions. You could scream at us, tell us what you want to hear more of. Tell us your thoughts about Bill and Bonnie too. And I think this is a good time. If you guys have any stories about what Mr. Feeney has meant to you, or a Feeney character in your life, a teacher that has impacted you, or if you think you have now become that teacher in somebody else's life, please send us your stories about what Mr. Feeney means to you or the Feeney character in your life. And you can email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. Also, we got shirts, baby.
Merch.
We've got too much shirts and we've got hair, and you can get it over at podmeetsworldshow.com.
Oh, and we want to do Ryder. Good idea. Did you think stuh is a funny joke?
Oh, yeah. We'll do that on the Instagram.
I think stuh is a funny joke.
I think that's a great idea.
Let's see what people think.
How much of the store is left?
Stuh.
Is that funny? We're going to do a poll on Instagram.
And I just once more want to say merch, because it's a great word to say.
It's such a great word. Also, we're putting out feelers. If you were an extra on the season, the first season of Boy Meets World, and you stuck around through the entire first season, please reach out to us. We'd want to talk to you.
Yeah, we do.
I want to hear from you, because we had a stable of extras that were in the classroom.
The classroom extras.
Yeah, and, unfortunately, we did not stay in touch. But yeah, through the years, I would say up until, gosh, I swear up until like the fourth season, we had a few recurring extras.
Did anybody go from school, like follow you through school? Meaning like, did you think anybody started at the very beginning and all went through the college years as well? Was there anybody that was there the whole time?
College years, but definitely we had some recurring extras that, like, I remember we would hang out with all the time. Now, granted, they would only come in on tape nights, right? Like so it would only be one night a week.
Well, I remember Dustin. Wasn't that his name?
Yeah,
Dustin was one. So Dustin, if you're listening, reach out.
Yeah, reach out to us. podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com, or you can get to us through the Instagram as well. This was really fun.
This was fun.
Oh, you know what else I just realized? Yeah. This was the first episode where we see Corey wearing Jordan 8s. This was kind of the start of Corey's
what are Jordan 8s?
Jordan 8s
shoes.
No
idea what she's talking
about. I have no idea either. I was like, what?
Listen, for the first, especially the first two seasons, the shoes, it's become like Boy Meets World is a show they go back to see the shoes that definitely Ben is wearing,
really?
And that sometimes that Ryder is wearing.
So are Jordan 8s specialty shoes?
No, they're just cool. They're just Jordan tennis shoes, but they're...
So I should have kept my shoes, what you're saying?
Yes, you should have kept your shoes. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't remember exactly how many times you wore them, because I think they were expensive too. So it may have been one of those things where Sean wasn't wearing them very often, but Corey was.
Because of the plumber thing.
But yeah, your pictures have been posted on on shirt Instagram. I'm not shirt, shoes Instagram, like, you know, sneaker Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Sneakergram.
Right. There you go. Wow. All right.
Instagram. Remember, we're changing the name. It is now Instagram.
Instagram.
Mr. Peeny Instagram.
Mr. Peeny loves Instagram.
All right. Well, this has been a real joy. Looking forward to seeing you guys next week. We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Daniel Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Lorraine Vurez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.